96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. On Easter Saturday, 15-year-old Devontae Washington was shot to death at a Deanwood Metro station. Police say the 17-year-old suspect, Maurice Bellamy, didn't like the way Washington looked at him. 16 days later, 15-year-old John Rufus Evans III was stabbed to death. Police say he and the 18-year-old suspect, Javonte Hall, had an ongoing dispute that ended in murder. What's behind these conflicts or street beefs that end in death for some and entanglement with the criminal justice system for others? Tonight, we're examining safe conflict resolution. My guests are Dr. Marco Clark, founder and principal at the Richard Wright Public Charter School, and Michael Moore. He's a high school senior at the National Collegiate Prep Public Charter School. Lines are open if you have a question or comment about this very critical issue for this and other communities around the nation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow me on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. Dr. Clark and Michael, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's no problem.
Dr. Clark, I want to talk to you first about John Rufus Evans. He was a student of yours last year. When you heard about this incident, what went through your mind as you began to hear about the details of what has happened?
I was totally disgusted, totally frustrated with the fact that we have lost another young person to a sense of act of violence for no really apparent reason. I begin to question why and ask the question, what are we going to do about it as a community? The answer is not adding more police. That's not the prop. That's not the solution. But rather having community involved, community activists that are out there supporting young people, making sure that they are getting home from school, making sure they're getting to school safe. And
Dr. Clark. You jump right to the community. These children were not born from the community. They have parents. And are you sitting here and telling me that this is the responsibility of the community?
What I'm telling you is that we have to get the community involved because, Harold, unfortunately, and I hate to really say this, but there's a large majority of parents that's not doing their job. The reason that we have kids acting the way they're acting, the kids are out of control. Let's just face it. The kids are totally out of control. There's a population of them that are really good students, really good young people. But as a whole, our community has to do better because the parent is the first teacher. The parent is the first teacher. And the reality is that we have a large group of parents that are not doing their job. And let's face it, educators are having an enormous challenge trying to educate young people. They didn't sign up for that. They went to college for 4 years and 6 years to get their degrees because they wanted to teach. They wanted to make sure they made a strong impact. Administrators did the same thing. They didn't sign up for that. So we bash teachers and educators a lot about what they do. But the fact is, the community has not spoken out enough against what's happening with the lack of parental support and parental involvement.
Let me ask Michael. Michael, talk to me about the realities. You're a teenager, mm-hmm. and you see every day conflicts. Like I said, street beefs. You see it between guys. You see it between girls. Why can't young people just walk away?
Well, it all comes down to a level of respect.
Explain that.
If you respect yourself, then there's only certain things that you will do. But if you see another person disrespecting you, then it's all bets off. And they feel like in order to protect their level of respect and protect their credit, like, they got to do what they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you walk away, you just seen as a chump, or, you know, you this, you not nothing, or you just not that dude anymore. And if you do it, then yeah. And as long as you don't get caught, then.
Are you suggesting that if you walk away, and as you say, you're not that dude anymore, does that mean that if people see you walk away, that they would then take advantage of you?
Absolutely. There is no room for the, as sad as it is to say, there is no room for the meek in the world anymore. And the wise just get pushed to the side. And it's all those who show out and who are boisterous and who just show that they blatantly don't care for anything that really get to, you know, shine in the world.
That is a profound statement from a teenager. There is no room in the world for the meek. That I find that fascinating. Do you agree with that, Dr. Clark? Not whether it's true or false, but that is the prevailing attitude.
I think he just made a very profound statement. We don't highlight the kids who are really pushing forward to do the positive things. And that's the reason why it's important that I mention the community, because what's happening is that, unfortunately, the community is not embracing the young people who are going to school, making good grades, focusing on doing the right thing. We spend a lot of our energy focusing on the negative kids and highlighting the negative kids. You know, they're the ones that make the news. You never really hear about the kids who are academically strong.
But hold on. I get that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about some really basic foundational things. We're not talking about the media and the highlighting. That's not what this conversation is about, Dr. Clark. This conversation is about some foundational stuff that happened when you were a kid, when I was a kid, when your parents were a kid. At some point, there is going to be a conflict between teenagers. And let me say, this is not just about teenagers. This is about Will Smith and Cardell Hayes in New Orleans.
But you can't go against that, because historically what has happened when I was a kid, the kids who did academically well and did well in the community, nobody praised them. The ones who did the negative things were the ones who were always being praised. That's the reason why that group of young people continued to grow. So you can't overlook that aspect of it, because it's a very important issue.
Well, I need to ask you how those two relate, because I'm not sure I understand. But let me go to the phone lines first. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about conflict resolution. Is it an option anymore? How do we get our young people to come home alive after conflicts in school or on the streets? Jeff, calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's encouraging to hear the young man make wise statements as he did, but you make a perfect point as the host. Parents and extended family, generation after generation after generation, have passed on this pride and arrogance of, oh, you bumped my shoulder, oh, you looked at me wrong, and we have to do what we have to do. I own corner A, you own corner B, and somebody else that's not even thinking about that is paying taxes on all that. So we, generation after generation, pass on this false, prideful foolishness of violence over nothing. And yes, we've praised those that have moved on with academics, but this is the thing. Those that are celebrated for deviance, as well as those who are celebrated for academics, when the bell sounds, and I'm 49, so I don't even know if they still use bells in schools to end the day, but when the day is done academically, both still have that seed of arrogance, pride, and the possibility to act out in a violent way because they're challenged in the same way from foolish violence that is planted in them by us older ones over and over and over again.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate your comment. What do you think about that, Michael, when you look at some of your peers who may be less likely to push back and walk away? Where do you suspect that that comes from? What are they not getting?
Well, I think they don't understand that walking away is an option. There was actually a situation the other day that I witnessed, and it started, you know, zoning or mm-hmm. whatnot, and I guess somebody got in their feelings, and you know, it was about to be a fight, and somebody walked up to him, and he was like, it's not that serious. I mean, y'all was just playing at first. And how did it get that serious? And he couldn't even come up with a logical reason to explain why he got so riled up so quickly. And it just comes from small things like that.
Who was the person who stepped in?
Well,
I mean, you don't have to give me a name, but was this a student? Was it a teacher?
It was a student. It was one of my fellow seniors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and what happened after he stepped in?
Well, he's a well-known person at the school, so you know he carries a lot of clout on his shoulders. So I guess they backed down and they made amends.
Interesting. He talked about cred and the use of credibility and respect. Obviously, a great way to use that. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Leah, calling from Stafford, Virginia. Thanks for calling, Leah. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. My thing is, I think a lot of times we don't look at things holistically. We're not looking at the black community holistically as, okay, dating back in the 50s and 60s, the black family was intact. And then, of course, you know, Nixon era with all the drugs that infiltrated the urban communities, which, you know, dismantled the, you know, the black community, the fathers in the homes, the mothers, you know, in turn probably got on crack. And, of course, you know, the dismantling, everybody knows the history of the dismantling of the black community. My thing is, these children, and we're not looking at mental, you know, illnesses in our communities, these children are really a result of the rap and crack era. So they're not really being, you know, their mental illnesses are not being looked into. They're not being treated. And this is going to continue over in generations until we look at the community holistically. Why is it there a breakdown and what we can do about it? Because I think we always are trying to put Band-Aids on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't look at it as, okay,
Leah, I gotta let you go. I've got a break, but thank you so much for your point. I'm going to continue that point on the other side. If you're on the phone, please stay with us. Richard in Northeast, Jerry in Prince George's County, and Charles also, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls. We're talking about conflict resolution. How to make sure our kids get home alive. We'll be back in just a moment.